I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time for our Wisdom Watch. That's the part of the program where we talk to people who've made a difference through their work, people with wisdom to share. Today, we talk politics, politics in the South, which can, of course, have a significant impact on the politics of the country. We've called a gentleman from Alabama today, a man well known to Democrats and those who follow politics. He's become a kingmaker of sorts in his home state and a man sought after for his political wisdom well beyond Alabama's boundaries. Joe Reed is the chairman of the Alabama Democratic Conference, the oldest black political organization in Alabama, and he's with us now. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
Now, I want to get your take on a number of contests that are shaping up around the country after the recent primaries, but I do want to start in Alabama. Congressman Arthur Davis was hoping to become the first African-American governor of Alabama. Now, he's a young, attractive guy, well-received by the congressional leadership, was kind of perceived as an up-and-comer. He endorsed Barack Obama early, very badly beaten in the recent Democratic primary. Why was that?
Well, there are probably several reasons, but one comes to mind is that he opposed Obama's health care plan, and that didn't go over well. In fact, a lot of people in Alabama just simply rejected that and outright, and that after he made the remarks that if his vote was the deciding vote, that he still wouldn't vote for it. So I think that was one of the reasons. Then, but more particularly, when he objected to coming before the black political organizations in Alabama, and particularly the Alabama Democratic Conference, in the 70s, we had white candidates who would run for office but would say that, I'm not going to go before the black vote. I'm not going to seek the black vote. I'm not going to appear before and talk to their black leaders. Well, we passed a rule in the 70s. It said that unless a candidate is willing to come before the voters through the black organizations, then they could not get endorsed. That's a standing procedure. So when Artur made that remark, people didn't like it, and it was a big mistake because you were, in effect, rejecting your base. You were rejecting your people. You were rejecting the true Democrats in Alabama.
Now, you had a tough piece in the Montgomery Advertiser where you talked about the ADC's decision not to endorse Arthur Davis. But more broadly, over the course of the primary, there was testy exchanges, if you want to call it that, between you two. Now, for 40 years, and we can go into all that, but for 40 years, you've been working to get more African-Americans elected and appointed to public office. And I just wanted to ask, was it personally painful for you not to be able to support this candidate?
Well, it's not personally painful for me to oppose anyone who opposed black folks' positions and the interests of black folk. And in fact, I don't have any pain when I see a person going the wrong way and certainly not looking out for my interests. And I don't think that was only my position. That was a position shared by blacks all over Alabama. And that was basically unanimity among black leaders that we didn't think Artur was the best person for our position. Secondly, I never thought he could win. We weren't driven by that. We were not driven by who could win and who could lose. We were thinking about the philosophy. And so my position didn't come down to whether he was black or white, as much as it came to how he voted and how he expressed himself about our issues.
Mm-hmm. I see your point. But, you know, you also supported Hillary Clinton initially over Barack Obama in the Democratic primary for president. And there are those who'd say, on the one hand, it makes your point that you are interested in candidates and positions as opposed to race. On the other hand, there are those who say that this is an example of where the black political establishment isn't ready to move aside to let the younger generation move into positions of prominence. I know you've heard that before, so I am interested in your perspective on that.
And that's a good point you raise. I don't think that anyone, because they're young, is necessary to do any deference. Any old person necessarily got to move out of the way so some younger person can come along and pick up where the old person was, an older person. I tell my children that nobody's going to build a temple and make you high priest. If you want the temple, you build your temple. You go out and work. You prove your worth. You demonstrate that you are concerned about people. Show that you love them and try your level best to help them. That's how you earn your place. That's how you earn your position. It's no question about it. I supported Hillary Clinton.
Because why? Because you thought she was the best candidate, or you just thought Barack Obama wasn't ready, or why?
Well, I didn't. I had met him a few times, but now I knew Hillary and I knew the president. And most black folk were for them initially, because people were saying that, you know, Bill Clinton is the first black president. You know, they had that little nickname for him. Of course, Barack hadn't come along. There was nothing wrong with Barack. But the only reason for a person to leave Hillary, and that's okay, and to go to some other candidate, was because she was white. We certainly didn't leave her because of her record. They had a good record on civil rights. They had a good record on black issues. And black folk were embracing them night and day. So of all crimes, the worst crime is ingratitude. That is, you never leave an old friend to make a new one. Make as many new friends as you can. But if your friends are there with you, whether they're black or white, you stick with your friends. And when that day comes where you have to leave your friends, it ought to be over something that your friends have done, not over their race.
What about the argument, though, that Cynthia Tucker of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist and editorial writer, wrote that you are part of, quote, an aging black political establishment that isn't ready to give up its outsized role in political affairs? I'm not sure that whether that was meant as a criticism or not, but how do you interpret that?
When I get ready to retire, I'm going home. And we have elections every 2 years in the Alabama Democratic Conference. I always leave the room and say, when you folk find somebody you want to run the Alabama Democratic Conference, it's fine with me. When I come back, they say, well, you've been elected, Mr. Chairman, again, if you'll serve. So I know Ms. Tucker, she's a very fine lady, but I don't hold that everything is young is good and everything old is bad. But the bottom line is that we have to train, we have to expose, we have to help young people to get the experience they need to run an organization or to help run an organization. And I yield to no one. I've drawn reapportionment plans for the state of Alabama. That's why Alabama has more black elected officials than any state in the nation.
And I want to ask you about that for in a minute. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Joe Reed, chairman of the Alabama Democratic Conference. Again, it's the oldest black political organization in Alabama. Indeed, Joe Reed is considered one of the deans of, what would you say, black political organizing, black political empowerment efforts through elective office? I should mention the Alabama Democratic Conference turns 50 this year. You mentioned that it was founded, as we said, 50 years ago, congratulations on that, by a group of citizens who were attempting to make sure that more African Americans had a voice in elective office, and which was no easy feat 50 years ago. But now that you do have the largest number of African American elected and appointed office holders in the country in Alabama. You don't have statewide office, as Archer Davis was seeking, but do you still feel that there's a need for a group like yours?
Oh, absolutely. Every candidate who ran for office came before the Alabama Democratic Conference on our annual convention. That's legislators, judges, statewide officials. The only one who didn't come was Artur. Everybody else came.
But why is there a need for a group like yours? I think some might argue
Tell you exactly why, in my opinion, is that, first of all, we are a minority. We have to vote together. We vote in a block. I believe in block voting. I've seen what it can do when people are united. Those who are opposed to it call it a block. I don't care what they call it, but I call it the unity slate. We endorse black folk. We endorse white folk. We endorse Martin King called whites of goodwill. Yes, and we have made a difference. We have been able to defeat some bad folk in office. And I'm proud of that. And no organization had worked to empower more folk than in the Alabama Democratic Conference.
Some people worry that black folk, I take your point about the power of the black vote, but there are some who argue that, number one, it allows candidates who are not part of the bloc to ignore your votes once they lose it, and that diminishes black political power. A lot of people make that argument about African-Americans generally voting, staying largely within the Democratic Party. They say, you know what, it makes it easy if you can't win a coalition, then you just become completely marginalized in the process. And people would look at the fact that there hasn't been a statewide office holder who's African-American is in Alabama as evidence of that. What do you say to that?
Well, I'll say that very few black office holders statewide in any state. We've had some in the past, or judges, and I think it's a crying shame that we don't have more black judges, more black elected officials statewide. We got to keep fighting for that. But fundamentally, a person who comes in second is never sworn in. And oftentimes, when an organization can pull people together, and we're very proud of our organization because we're the only one in the country. We're the only one in the country that got a network statewide where they all come together. You're talking about some unity and make a decision.
Let me ask you about some of the other races around the country, if you don't mind getting your perspective on this. As we've been reporting on the fact, a lot of people have, of course, is the fact that there are some like 2,300 candidates for congressional and Senate office filed. That's the largest number that the FEC has, the Federal Election Commission has recorded since they've been keeping track of this. And one of the interesting phenomenon here is that the largest number of African-American Republicans that anybody can remember running. And it's just, and for example, like in South Carolina, nearby South Carolina, the South Carolina's only African-American lawmaker is going to face a son of former Senator Strom Thurmond in the runoff election there later this month. I'm just curious about why you think that might be. And also on the Latino side, for example, a number of Latinos on the Republican side have won nominations. There's one in New Mexico. That's probably not unusual. It's an all-Latino ticket in New Mexico. And I'm just wondering why you think that is.
I think Obama's election has done two or three things. One, I think he stimulated and gave hope to a lot of people, those who had not, who been traditionally left out. But you have to count your votes. Go back to Alabama just a bit here. Obama didn't get but about 10% of the white vote in Alabama, about 10%. Now, that didn't give any candidate black running for office a lot of hope. But Obama's election has given a lot of people hope. And that's what it's all about. It's about empowerment. People got a right to run. If blacks want to form a Republican organization, let them form one. But they should not be used. When the pie is cut, black folk ought to get some of it in the Republican Party. So I don't have any problem with the blacks organizing or with the Republicans. The Republicans respect them and deal with them and treat them like people. And I say the same thing even with Democrats. And in the state of Alabama, I've said to Democrats over and over again, my goal in politics is to be sure that the pie is cut right, to be sure that we get people in office that can help our folk, people in office who would do good. So I don't have a problem. The Latinos want to have form a caucus. I said, good luck and form you one and negotiate something for your people. But otherwise, you're not going to get anything.
Do you think we will ever come to a time when race won't loom so large in politics?
Not soon, not in my lifetime, and not in yours. I don't know how old you are. I'm 71.
Well, I'm a little younger than you.
But not in my lifetime, and I don't think my little grandboy's lifetime.
Well, really, because some people would look at Obama's election as evidence of the fact that it doesn't.
I promise you, progress we have made, absolutely, yes. Progress we have made, and I commend Obama, but Obama got to understand one thing, and he can't really get out and deal with this. A lot of these Tea Party crowds and these other folks who are forming groups, these are folk who resent Obama. I mean, how the Republicans, for example, have something taken the position, we want him to fail. We're going to do everything we can to trip him up. They have never said that about a white president before, but we want this man to fail. And then when your president fails, the country fails.
Well, I think they might make the argument that it's not him personally, it's his policies. They just don't agree with him. And, of course, they should want him to fail.
They see his policies as him. I know Tip O'Neill said all politics is local, but tell him Joe Reed said all politics is personal. This black man won over many of their objections, and they are doing everything they can to frustrate him to be sure that he does not succeed. And I know deep down he knows that. Deep down, he's not going to get out and say all of that. So it takes guys like me to tell that.
But if race were still so important, how could he be president since blacks are less than 15% of the population? Surely our new census hasn't come out yet, but blacks are less than 15% of the population of the country. So if race were that important, how could he be president?
And you know something? I am so glad that white America turned to him and elected them. Let's give them a chance to serve. I'll be the first to say, every movement we've ever had in the country, we've always had white allies. So I'm not one. Our organization, last month, we endorsed a white candidate over a black one. So if it had been driven by race, it would not have happened. It was not driven by race. So blacks have had and continue to have and also seek out white allies. But we can never forget one fundamental question, that we are still black. And just because John F. Kennedy got elected as a Catholic, it doesn't mean that there are some folk who don't resent Catholic. And the same thing about blacks. Just because the civil rights era is not over, just because Obama got elected.
Finally, before I let you go, I normally like to end our conversations this way. I'd like to ask, if you were speaking to a younger you, do you have some wisdom that you would like to share?
Yes. First, be honest. That's the most important thing about politics. No, politics is clean. It's politics that's dirty. And I would tell them, first, if you're going to get in politics to help others, yourself, you cannot help. Sell your service, but never your soul. Prepare, work hard, keep your word, let your word be your bond, your handshake be your contract, and be the first to see the sunrise and the last to see the moon. You have to work to get what you want politically like you do in any other thing. And that's what I say, would say to any young group that I was talking to. That was some of the things I would say. I would probably say a lot more. Don't forget your friends. Don't forget your friends. Of all crimes, the worst crime is ingratitude.
Joe Reed is the chairman of the Alabama Democratic Conference. He was kind enough to join us from his office in Montgomery. Mr. Reed, thank you so much for speaking to us.
And thank you for inviting me to share this program.
And a reminder before we leave you today, the conversation never ends on Tell Me More. We'd like to hear from you, especially if you are in Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, or Florida and have been affected by the oil spill. We'd like to know what you're seeing. We'd like to know what you're feeling. We'd like to know what you're experiencing in connection with the government's response. Tell us more by calling our comment line at 202-842-3522. Again, that's 202-842-3522. Or you can go to our website, go to npr.org, click on the Tell Me More page, and blog it out. And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.